I usually do a Sunday humor, but this is a Sunday fact. And this talks about a woman who was named Mary Young. That is, that was her name before she got married. She married Brian Christmas. And so now she is called Mary Christmas. She said, God has a sense of humor. What are the chances that this would have happened, she said. But not only that about Mary. Mary happens to work at Ancestry.com. So it kind of gives her a little access to a little bit of information. So she decided she was going to look up how many Mary Christmases there were in the United States. And there were well over 100 of them. Does anyone know a Merry Christmas, M-A-R-Y, Merry Christmas? No? Okay. So yes, God does have a sense of humor, amen? Amen, amen. As I read John 3:16 and 17, it talks, of course, about God's love, that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to us. But did you know that depending on the translation of the Bible that you have, love might be mentioned between 100 to 300 times. So that tells us that love is very important. The greatest of the virtues, as I said, of the Advent wreath, the greatest of these virtues is love. Love is Jesus' entire reason for him coming in flesh to be here on earth with us. In Jesus' ministry, all he did was focus. That was the root of his ministry, was love. He focused on love. He preached on love. He preached the Father's love. He preached loving one another. And we can't walk with Jesus without the virtue of love. You know, we know that Joseph certainly loved Mary. He had to, because he knew that there was a lot of talk going on around town. Was that his? Is that his? Is that baby his? I'm sure there was all this kind of talk going on. I mean, she could have been stoned. But he loved her. He loved her, and he took her as his wife. So Joseph loved Mary. Mary loved Jesus, and God loves us. Now today, I want to start with, in 1965, there was a movie called The Greatest Story Ever Told by George Stevens. Now, if I was to title my message today, it would be The Greatest Story Ever Told or Love Changes Everything. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, just a show of hands, and I don't feel uncomfortable if I ask you this question, if you want to share. How many of you, and I'm going to raise mine first, how many of you have a movie that you really enjoy watching during the Christmas season? Any specific type of movie that you really look forward to? Charles says he's got one specific one that he likes to watch. Anybody else? No one? Okay. Well, I do. It's kind of a tradition. Charles, which one do you like to watch? The Christmas Story? Okay. I think this would be worth the drive to see. Okay. Okay. All right, so It's a Wonderful Life with George Bailey, okay? That's one of the movies. Does anyone remember that? Show of hands, anybody? Okay, some of you do. How about The Christmas Carol with Ebenezer Scrooge? Okay, some of you remember that one. White Christmas with Bing Crosby, and who was the woman? Vera what? Miles, okay. Okay, and, you know, I'm not really into Home Alone. It is funny. It is very funny, but there's Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2, I think, now, too, as well. And oh, there's a 3? Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Did anyone see the commercial where the mother's in a store and she's going, Kevin! Kevin! And it's a commercial, and it's, you know, it's she just, you know, it's one of those things that kind of catches. It's like a household word now, Kevin, you know, in that tone. But anyway, how about Charlie Brown's Christmas? I remember as a kid watching that one. Anybody remember that one as a kid? Okay, so most of us do. How about, now this one, I have not seen this one in a long time. How about Miracle on 34th Street? That's a good one, isn't it? Okay. Now, I'm not into Babes in Toyland. How about any of you? Anybody? Okay. How about The Grinch Who Stole Christmas? And then, okay. How about National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation? Anybody watch that? I've never seen it. Anybody? Some of you have seen it. Okay. So let me ask you this now. Now that I've shared these titles with you, is there some one of those that you enjoy watching at Christmas time? Raise your hands. Anybody? A few of you. A few additional ones. Okay. And these are all good stories. They are. They're good stories, but they're not the story. So on the fifth Sunday, Advent, we want to talk about the virtue of love. And the key player in this story of the birth of Jesus, the person who had to totally be on board with all the things that were going to come about, would be Mary. Now, we talked about Mary last week, but I want to go at it with a different angle today. Mary was the first person who was asked to respond to the Christmas story. But you know what? She isn't the last person that responds to the Christmas story. We too have to be invited to participate in the Christmas story as well. And how do we do that? How do we become a part of the Christmas story? When we choose love. When we choose love. You know, and there's sometimes in seasons in our lives, because of circumstances or challenges or experiences, we have a hard time choosing love, to love someone, to love another person that maybe has hurt you or offended you or you can't trust. You can still love them from a distance, okay? It's hard to love sometimes in some seasons in our lives. Sometimes it's even hard to love ourselves because we've made a mistake or we've made a bad choice. And we know at the time when we made the choice, it wasn't a good choice. So we find it hard sometimes to even love ourselves. So why is it hard to love sometimes? It's because it requires us to invest. It requires us to invest in others. It requires us to give of ourselves. You know, to love the unlovable. And I think we all know someone that pops up into our mind of someone who we would say is unlovable. They don't want. They're hard. Their hearts are hardened, or they're hard-nosed, or they're hard to get along with, or they don't want to be around people. They're more, secluded. So it's a time when we have to take that love and we have to work at it a little harder for that particular kind of person. So what do all these Christmas movies that we just talked about, what do all these Christmas movies have in common? Well, with these main characters, as the story is told, they all have a transformation. They all have a change in their lives for the better. You know, the season of Advent is one of those times where we can look within ourselves, not at our neighbor, not at our husband or our wife or our brothers or our sisters or the coworker that we're working with, that they need to change. We need to look at ourselves and say, how can I change? How can I show the love of God? We need to get our hearts and our minds and our spirits focused on the gift of love. That gift of love was given to us from God on that first Christmas when he sent his son Jesus to take our place. He came, the Word made flesh. That's Jesus. With love, we as Christians are to transform the world for the good. And I didn't see this anywhere, but it was just the Holy Spirit just laid it on my heart. It says, and when we find our love in ourselves, we can create love in the world around us. That love is in there. We just sometimes need to go digging for it. And when we do, we can take that love in the world that we're in, all those around us, and we can make a difference. That's when love can change everything. So let's talk about the Christmas Carol. Scrooge, he had, let's say it's a dream, of visits of three different angels that came to him to point out where he needed to make adjustments in his life. And after he wakes up, he has a simple change of heart because he began to look at who he was. But see, all he was doing for decades was using the excuse that his heart was broken. Why was his heart broken? Because he chose the things of the world over the woman that loved him. The woman would have loved him if he had not had so much love for power and success and money. He would have had maybe that plus the love of the woman that loved him. But he chose the things of the world for decades. And yet, in this dream, he gets it's pointed out to him all the things that he did. But that, it could change. It's never too late. And so he wakes up the next morning, and he has a change of heart, and he's leaping and singing, and he's happy, and he's wanting to be a blessing to any and everyone that he sees. And he yells Merry Christmas to everyone. Well, of course, now, you know, the townspeople aren't, they're like, who's he and where did Scrooge go? You know, that's what they're thinking. But they're beginning to like this new Scrooge. And maybe he's going to change his name from Scrooge to Ebenezer. The thing is this, his life was changed, and it was out of love. And that love, believe it or not, in Ebenezer Scrooge was in there. It was always in there. He just did not want to use it. He didn't want to, invest in anyone else because he was too busy investing in himself. Charlie Brown, let's look at Charlie Brown. Now, the movie Charlie Brown, or the story about Charlie Brown, is that he thought things, that Christmas was all about things. And then in the end of the story, he finds that it's the love of family and love of friends. In the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, Clark Griswold, who wanted to have a perfect Christmas, they go on a vacation, and everything that could go wrong went wrong on this vacation. What fell apart, fell apart. I mean, just every plans just were, none of the plans came to the way he expected. He had an expectation of a perfect Christmas. And then he finds out in the end of the story that the thing that's most important is love, the love of family, the love that they share with each other. Like Mary, we need to be on board. And that's what Ebenezer finally found out, that he needed to be on board. No matter what the circumstances or the situations are, love will always change things for the better. Love. And he realized that love is the thing that was where he was going to find his joy and his peace. And that's what Charlie Brown found. And that's what Clark Griswold found out when he realized that Christmas doesn't have to be perfect. So Mary was on board with God's plan to love as Jesus loved. You know, if we're really serious about Advent, if we're really serious about preparing our hearts to celebrate the birth of Christ, and if we truly want to focus on the season of Advent and the season of Christmas, there is no way that we can't find in the process where we've changed. If we were to look back after tonight, or maybe Christmas Day, and look back and say, what positive thing have I seen change in my life? If it be just one thing, then it was worth it. That's what we need to do. We need to self-examine. Have we invested love into someone else's life? Have we taken the time, made the effort to invest in someone else's life? The other day when Judy called me about our friend Betty, she says to me, "Bonnie, the other day I should have went over. I always did her laundry, and I should have went over. And she was beating herself up. And I said, "Judy, you did the best that you could. You were there at least once or twice a week there. I was there at least once or twice a week. We called her daily. What more can we do? If God wanted us to be there, he would have made a way. Don't beat yourself up." The point being, she invested time into Betty's life. She made a difference in Betty's life. And I'm so glad that, especially these last 6 months, this last year, that I invested that time into her life and I made a difference. And she loved hearing what my message was on. "What are you preaching this week, Bonnie? Are you singing this week, Bonnie?" She loved, I've known the woman since I was 20 years old. And I am so thankful that the Lord has put on me, and I'm sure he has with all of you as well. He's given you the priority of investing his love that he's put in you. He's asked you to invest it into someone else. So that love is even more powerful, that love that we have in us. That love is more powerful when we share it. Now let's look at the Grinch who stole Christmas. Now I'm not sure about the name of the town, but anyway, there's the Grinch, and he's decided when Christmas Eve comes and it's dark, he's going to sneak down to Whosville. Isn't that the name of the town? Whosville. And he's going to sneak down to Whosville, and he's going to steal the toys, the gifts, and he's going to steal the Christmas trees, and he's going to steal all the Christmas decorations, okay? Now, he just can't wait till morning because he wants to see the Who's in Whosville be so sad and so disappointed because there's not going to be a Christmas. And he's up on this hill, and he's looking down over the town of Whosville, and he's grinning with that long grin. And he's looking down, and all of a sudden he hears, "Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas." And they're singing, la, 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 la. And they're singing, and he's like, and that grin just gets smaller and smaller, and before you know it, it's upside down smile. And he's like, "What gives? I've stolen everything. I've stolen everything that there is about Christmas, and yet they're down there singing and they're happy. Why is that?" Well, he realizes that no matter what things he's tried to take away, Christmas still came anyway. Why? Because love was already there. Love was already in the town of Whosville. The Grinch said to himself, "Maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store, but maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more." That story tells us that as the Grinch realizes what Christmas is all about, his heart grew 3 times its size, and he decided to give back all that he had stolen. They chose The people in Whosville, they chose to magnify God's love. He saw the love the Who's had. He realized this love was inside of them and could not be taken away. Isn't that the thing, that no matter what Scrooge, how he hated, you know, people, and he just loved his business and his success, that the love was in there. No one could take that love out of him. It was just so deep, buried deep within him. But that when he realized the error of his ways, all he had to do was reach in there and pull that love out. So we can't come up with a justification for not walking in love, investing in love with someone. It goes on, it says, he realizes this love was on the inside of them and couldn't be taken away. He realizes what love was all about, and he was changed too. So in Advent, in Christmas, this season, this time, when we allow our hearts to be transformed in the process. I want to share a short story I ran across. It was about a youth group that decided to have a bake sale right before Christmas. And they had so many baked goods on this table. And they sold everything. And they had quite a sum of money. Now, this youth group could have said, "Wow, we could have a pizza night. Or we could go ice skating or roller skating. Or we could all go to the movies together. Or we could maybe, you know, use this as a down payment to go on a trip somewhere together as youth. But they didn't do that. They took that money that same day, and they went to the stores, and they bought toys for children they knew were not going to have a Christmas. They chose to magnify God's love by their actions. You know, the Christmas story is about Mary and Joseph, and it is about the baby Jesus, and it is about the manger, and it is about no room in the inn. But that's not the end of the story. The great Christmas story continues to play out in you and me. Amen? The love of God through us. So as we prepare for Christmas, what is your script going to say? What is your role going to be in the story of Christmas? We have to let our words and our actions be so full of love that it magnifies God, that it glorifies our Lord. The story of the Grinch, of Ebenezer, Charlie Brown, and I didn't talk about too much about George Bailey, but he too had a miracle. He was to the point where he just wanted to give up because he had lost all hope. But then God showed him what the world would have been without him. But think about what George Bailey did in the story in the beginning. He invested literally money, loans after loans of people that looked like they would be a risk to give them money to. But he invested into their lives. He helped so many in this story start a fresh new life with their family. And when we invest in others' lives with the love that God has put in us, and that love reaches out and touches someone else, when the time comes for us and we need someone to invest in us, isn't that what happened to George? To Mr. Bailey, George Bailey? Isn't that what happened to him? He had put so much of himself, even their honeymoon. They didn't have a honeymoon because he took that money and he kept his bank open so that he could help others. They did not have he sacrificed. He invested into the community. He invested into the lives of those people in that community. And when he needed someone to invest in him, God came through. Even at the time of a life, at the end of a life where he thought nothing, he had lost all hope. And yet God brought someone across his path to invest in him. That angel came and helped him. And the stories go on and on. These are all great stories that I shared with you this morning. But you too have a great story. You too have a great story. But the thing about your story is it's still in progress. It's still going on. It's still continuing. And if your hearts are open to the love of Christ, you too will have a great story. If your Christmas is more about his presence in your life than the presence under the tree, then you too will have played an important part in the greatest story ever told. Amen? In closing, Father, help us to appreciate what truly matters, that we are not to be distracted by the trivial things, the cares of the world. Help us to set our priorities in order so that we can do and say all the things that are pleasing unto you, and that we glorify you as we love others as you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.